Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus in the 32nd chapter. And I hate to use the cliche, good things come for those who wait, but that's the title of the message tonight. When I read this a few days ago, my heart is just stuck to it, Beth. So we're just going to read it, and I'm going to share it with you and leave it with you. That's the best thing you can do. I've learned that the benefits of preaching is that it brings out the severity of sin. That's the duty of preaching. It's not to tell people how to live their life. It's not for me to tell you how to run your priorities. It's for me to tell you how great that sin can be to lead you into destruction. Because we could get into seminars on how that you should put A, B, and C in order, but that's not what it's about. Because our lives are so different. But one thing is for certain, sin is present in all of our lives. In many ways, in many forms. And it always comes to tempt us, to lead us away from God. If we're led away from God, we get in a place of discouragement where we cannot be encouraged, where we cannot be lifted up, where we cannot be built in our faith. And tonight, I hope to share with you something that you'll not only take with you today or maybe next week, but this will be something that you remember for a long time. So we'll begin to read in verse 7, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee of a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all the land that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had taught to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides, on one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they had shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into that camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. We'll stop right there for a moment and we'll read the next two verses. So I began to read and study on this for a little while. And as Moses was gone to have his talk with the Lord upon the mount and to receive the words of God and to put the writing upon the tablets to which he had, to which God was speaking unto him, the people and Joshua were down in the camp during this time. And during this time, as we will say tonight, of waiting, they begin to grow weary. And during this time, as they grew weary, they were brought out with possessions. They had earrings. They had gold that they wore on their necklaces. They had things that they valued in gold at that time. And as they grew weary, they began to not have trust in God because they had not seen God move. They had not seen a move of God in a while. They had not heard the word of the Lord spoken through their leader. They had been brought through Egypt. They had been brought through so many things. They had seen God moving. They'd got to a point, yet their faith began to waver in God. Now, I would ask all of us to kind of hold up our hand and be honest, but I wouldn't put that on you tonight to ask you how many of us lately or recently or a little while back or maybe sometime in the most recent year has wavered in our faith in God because we're waiting. Come on, you got to help me tonight. I'm not preaching this just to be. Sometimes when we don't see an immediate move of God, it's hard to wait. And I know that when we sit around and amongst ourselves, that as Joshua began to make excuse, he was saying, I heard this noise and that noise, and they begin to make war, if you will. They begin to make so much noise that it was as a calamity or an uprising in their camp. And at this time, he didn't really know what else to do except just to fold into their demands. So he took all the gold that they had, put it all together into a fire, and molded it into a calf in such a manner that they would be satisfied. And this took the representation of taking your faith off of God and putting it in something that was not God, that was representative to what we could see, that was of the world. That was just a face value. It was shiny. It was something that they were, oh, and we can really put our faith in this thing. It ceased the noise for just a little while. And as Moses was still there, God began to speak to him and warn him about what was going on. And at first, God was wrathful and just could not believe after everything that they had been brought through, how their faith had wavered in just an amount of time. So I reach out to you tonight. I throw a rope to you. I throw a lifeline. I hold my hand out. I'll throw whatever I can for you to get a hold of this. And let me ask you, before we get to the noise, before we get to the complaints, before we get to the why gods, before we get to the why did it happen to me, before we get to that period of waiting where we're asking God, what in the world's going on? Lord, where have you been? God, how long am I going to wait? I'm begging you tonight to look behind you. As God is leading me, as led by the Holy Ghost tonight, I beg you to look where God has led you from. I remind you tonight, as God has saved you, he has given you eternal life. I reach out to you tonight to remind you that you have an eternal hope. That if you have nothing else, that you have eternal hope in Christ. And as we are in this period of waiting in our lives, we have many uncertainties. And I preach on our circumstances all the time. But it's hard to wait. It's hard to be uncertain. It's hard not to understand. And not to understand is the one thing I can't stand. I want to know when I get down and pray. I want an answer every time I get down. I get down and ask God, why in the world, Lord, must I wait? God, why? Must I seek you so often for this one thing? Lord, how long must I endure for this trial before I can see the light of day? And I begin to wonder what it is inside that begins to rise up in us each and every time that we're in that darkest hour. And I realize that it's the Spirit of God. Each and every time, as we are in the day that we're living in, we have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen tonight? How you better wake up tonight. Can I get an amen in the house of God? As we live in the day that we're in, we have the benefit of the Holy Ghost. And in the times that we're waiting, I should not ever look back and be discouraged. I should be able to be lifted up by the almighty promises of Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry or waver. Time is short. And he said in the word of God that we're just but a vapor. So if we're just but a vapor, that season of time that we wait is just for a little while. That time that we should be waiting is time that we should set aside to be praying to God. It seems like the longest time in the world when we don't dedicate it to God. God, it feels like when it's 4:20 at work and there's 10 minutes to go and I've got nothing to do, it's the longest 10 minutes in the world. But if I find something to do, if I get myself focused on my work, it doesn't seem like the longest 10 minutes in the world. If I can begin to put God first in the middle of everything that's going on and begin to trust Him in a greater way, I begin to feel the benefits of the comfort of His Spirit. I begin to lift my head up when I'm in trouble. I begin to trust Him when everything goes wrong. I begin to say, God, thank you. I look back and I remember I'm not afraid or ashamed. I am encouraged when somebody testifies. My heart goes out to anybody that's in waiting, because I know what it feels like to wait. I know what it feels like to long for a move of God. And not just because of what's happened recently, happening with her in a time of uncertainty with her health. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the prognosis was. I didn't have any answer. And during those times, I could just throw my hands up and say whatever and just get upset about it. But there's a peace that you can have. Hallelujah. There's a peace that you can get a hold of and own for yourself. There's a joy beyond everything that would try to destroy you. I'm trying to get us to realize that we need to be more happy in this life, even in the middle of something that would try to destroy you. I'm trying to remind you that there's something that you can get down and get a hold of that will bring you back up. And you might not feel like that you might be standing, but it'll lift you up off the ground if you're laying flat on your back. You might be able just to draw another breath, but God will breathe the breath of life into you. You might not feel like you can lift another finger, but God will be the strength for you. You might not feel like you can put two sentences together, but God will make your mind move. If we wait too long before we trust God, we're led into a spirit to which we're looking for something else to fill the void. I'm looking for something else to fill the void. Joshua, satisfy me in my time. I don't know what's going to come of tomorrow. And in my unsatisfaction, you satisfy me. Give me something I can look at that I may believe. In that time, they walked by sight. They walked by what they could see. And I thank God, I don't walk by sight. I walk by what's in me. I walk by what lives in me. God, help me to be satisfied with what lives in me. Don't let me seek for other things out in this world. There's nothing flashy enough that could compel me to be satisfied. There's no solution. There's no words, Erica, that could ever be spoken to me that would bring me closure over something. It will only be when God comes by and lifts you up in your time of need. It'll only be when we get down and surrender. You hear this tonight, when you get down and surrender before God and say, take my heart, take my life. I surrender all my sin before you. Take my temptations. Take all my troubles. God, I need your help. We get to a place where we just begin to accept that. We get in a state of war. We're never satisfied. We're never happy. We couldn't worship in the house of God if we wanted to. And God's Spirit is so free. It's free for whosoever will. It's there for you if you reach out and get it. He said He'd spread a table. Oh, out for you to have it. It's there for you to dine. It's there for you to eat. It's there for you to partake of. He said, drink, for this is my blood. We are covered by His blood. He said, drink of that. So I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm covered by Jesus Christ. I drink of it every day when I know that I'm saved today. I'm covered by what He's done for me. He said, take of that bread. For this is my body. Take of the flesh which was broken on behalf of your sins. The brokenness that represented the pain, the willingness. I have to get down when I say that. The willingness to suffer for our lives. An appointed time to sacrifice His life and a willingness to do so. And I thank God you sent Jesus to come so that I may have life and it more abundantly. I'm covered by your blood. Your flesh was broken for my life. And in my times of waiting, I'm still covered. I should be faithful to believe. He said, tarry here for a little while I give you power from on high. Tarry here, church, while you're living, while I give you strength. Tarry here and inherit what God would want you to have. Get hold of this tonight. Tarry here and endure your sufferings. Oh, with thanksgiving, endure these things with gladness and not be satisfied with this world. You are not of it. You are the light of it. Did you get it tonight? You are the light of the world. You are covered by Jesus, and you go out covered by Jesus. You go out in this world waiting for moves of God, just like everybody else. But the difference is that you're believing because you're covered and you're faithful to believe. Hallelujah. I need a hallelujah in the house of God. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody needs to give God a hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I proclaim I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Moses came down from there with just as much wrath in his heart because he just cannot believe after everything that they've been brought through. And yet, could not hold on. You see, he walked the same steps that they did. And I don't know if he was first in line, but I know when they went across, when the seas parted, that I know that he went with them. So I know that if there was one that could walk up and walk high to the mount and hear from God in that time, that means it was possible for man to believe and trust God. That also means that it takes a person that's willing to live to a high standard to hear what God would tell them. You want to be a leader and lead people through the dry places. You want to bring people into victory. You got to live where God would want you to. You got to stray from sin. You got to be able to hear God when he wants you to go high on the mountain. You got to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost and speak the things that people might not want to hear, because sometimes you're going to be vexed, but you got to be able to give it as God would want you to. You're going to have to be able to come down sometimes by the Spirit and speak to those things and ground them up and throw them out into the river and tell people as he made them drink in that time and remind them that they can't live out in sin and be tempted by everything that would destroy them. He literally made them drink it, but in the day we live in, it's easier to say we can't go out into trouble and do that. That's what that's representative to. You know you can't live, and that's what I'm doing tonight. We know we can't live in a state of waiting and be unsatisfied and not faithful and mix it with anything but faith when we're waiting. Mix it with doubt, unfruitful, won't grow. You can't mix anything with a plant except water and the light. And isn't it amazing how God made it that way? I think it's amazing, Derek. The simplicity of God's creation. And if I don't mix in my life that Spirit of God and be faithful, I can be a light, not by how big my Bible is, not by how many t-shirts I have that says I love Jesus Christ, but how faithful I am to hold my head up and get a hold of somebody and say, I'm believing God. I'm still trusting God for that need. To be able to hold your head up, reach out to others. Say, if you need God. I don't know if you notice, but I've noticed lately how the Spirit of God is beginning to draw his people into a closer fellowship. And I'm going to fight with all that I've got to see that preserved. You know how you do that? You love your neighbor as yourself. And not greater than yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. He ground that up and gave that to him in that time. And I can't imagine how ground up gold and water would taste. And especially if it was water that was just running freely. Must not have been good. But hearing the truth in the midst of life when we're in trouble isn't good either. Of course, when I hear preaching, that messes me up. I go home upset. If I don't get an amen on that one, you're not being real. You're not human. When we get in a place where it ruffles our feathers, I cannot believe he preached that in here. Who does he think he is to tell me how to live my walk with God? Oh, you've never said that before.
Here, let's just put that down and we'll just pretend like we're not human.
God wants us to be real tonight. And we've got to acknowledge when God wants to speak to our hearts. When we're in a time of waiting, we must be faithful. That's what God wants to speak to you tonight. Faithful. And I'm not trying to come down like the wrath of Moses, but I'm coming down on this trouble that the enemy's trying to put on us in this time to put our heads down, to keep us discouraged, to lead us into depression and into those foul spirits that would try to keep us at home and not being able to at least pick our head up at the beginning of the day and say, God, I'm still faithful to believe you. We might not have the strength to do many things, but we can still have enough faith to be able to get up and go. Because I know that there's going to be heavier times than others. And some of us in here are in heavier times than others. And I'm totally understanding to that. But God still has enough for you too. God still has enough to pick you up in that time. Glory to God. And pick you up in your tough times. Because he's a God of the mountain and a God of the valley. I believe that with all my heart. We're never alone. We're never without. We're never lacking. We're never in a place that God cannot locate us and pick us up. Amen. How many of us believe that? Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read these last parts. I don't want to leave anything out. And it says in 23, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, get this, for this Moses guy, this guy that led us through all this stuff, for this Moses, that's how we get when we get in a place where we make excuses for the when we get in a bad place, throw somebody else under the bus when we're not willing to admit when we get into trouble. We got to get out of that. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. We didn't know where he went. We begin to worry. Well, I'm glad that God is still God, even if somebody else let me down. Amen. I'm glad that if I'm not able to get out of the bed with the flu, that God is still God. I'm glad that I'm in such a low depression that I can't get anybody to understand that God is still God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is still God in those times. Hallelujah. I could run around the building on that one. I know what depression is. I lived depression. I hid depression. I walked with depression. It hung out with me for a long time. I know what it feels like. But I know what it feels like to let it go too. In a time of trouble, in a time of waiting, and in a time when we're vexed, when we're unhappy, when anything, we need to do nothing more than seek God and stop looking around. Stop being in question. Being in question is a form of doubt. Being in question is in a form of doubt. That's my easy way of getting out of having to pray. Well, God, I just don't understand why you don't go ahead and do it. Instead of getting down and saying, Lord, I believe you can. I know that's tough. But it's true. It's hard for me sometimes. It's hard for me to not say, Lord, when? Or God, are you even able to move for this need? God, it's been going on so long. Why or when? And then we get discouraged and we can't even pray. We can't even believe that God's able to do it. God wants us to be faithful and not doubting. He doesn't want us to be unsatisfied with what we've been covered by. If we stay out so long from the covering of His blood and His Spirit inside of us, and we stay out in this world and stay upon the golden calves, if you will, continue to live in doubt for so long, we'll never get a hold of enough faith to mix with our prayer for it to be fervent or effective to move any mountain. I'll go so far as to say this. In fact, we'll get to a state where we'll be purged. We'll be plucked up. We'll be spewed out. All the churches that you read about in Revelation, all of them, even the ones that were considered good in that time, every one of them had something, that there was a flaw within. Each and every one of them. So that tells me that no matter how good of church we've got here, there's always going to be something that we've got to work on. There's always got to be something that we've got to continually have God's presence in to work on. For me, it's always got to be a greater love. It's got to be a greater love. It's got to be a greater patience. It's got to be for me to be more attentive to the needs around me. It's for me not to move on as quick. For me to be attentive to what God is trying to do. I don't know what it is for you. But when God begins to deal with your heart and show you things, I beg you just to be faithful, to trust God in what He shows you. When you begin to do that, your life will begin to change. We only grow when we accept the Word of God. And I know it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse here tonight. But let me tell you, I might not ever get to preach again. I might not ever get to say these same words. I don't know the circumstances of your life. And I don't know what's out here ahead of you in your tomorrow. But what I can assure you is in your time of need, when you leave this place, that God is going out with you every step, and He will take care of you. And He's all about you. And He loves you. And He's going to be there for you. But we have to believe it. We have to be faithful. And we've got to learn to be satisfied. We've got to open up the Bible. And I'm not talking about for real. But I'm talking about in our heart. I've got to let it live. It come alive in my life. I know that it's the substance of things hoped for. I've read it. I know it. I know it by heart. I've heard it since childhood. I went to Sunday school and I heard it recited and I got up in front of people and I said it all my life. But it's only real and alive in you when you let it live in your life. When push comes to shove and it really counts for you, that's when it becomes something that is applied to you. I don't know your tomorrow, and I've just learned just to do it. And I want you to make it right before God and keep it right. Don't just give it up. Don't just give up. Don't just hand it over. Don't let your loved ones give up. Get a hold of them and get down with them even tonight. Tell them that today is a new day. Tell them that brighter days are ahead. Tell them not to give up on life. Tell them there's a God that loves them. Tell them they don't have to go to hell. Tell them there is a Savior that is there for them if they would just pray with you. That is not hard. That was so easy for me to say right now. If you just pray and humble yourself, you can go to anybody and say it. I'm tired of hearing people say they're just waiting on God to move on them. You humble your heart. You can just walk up to somebody. God would lead you. He didn't say that we wouldn't go without persecution. So I've stopped waiting. I'm just going to speak it and be persecuted. There were those that were beheaded. So this is far less a punishment. If somebody just doesn't like it in their opinion, that's far less a punishment than being beheaded. I count it a privilege just to be able to preach the Word of God, to be able to advertise the Word of God on the radio and the internet. I still praise God just for what He's doing in the ministry of this church, what He's doing out of this church, and what He's doing over here. I'm faithful to believe that God is still doing it. I'm faithful to believe that He's blessing us in our lives, and that if we're faithful to believe it in our lives, we bring it in here and it flourishes in our church.